What a blessed song to shout it out and to proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is God. He is Savior. Look nowhere else. It is Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. There's salvation in no other name. And as a matter of fact, no matter what's going on in our world, no matter how frustrated we may get with certain people or whatever, here's the bottom line. Every knee will bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So we thank the Lord for that. That's the bottom line. That's where we're headed. And these songs of worship give us, you know, a longing just to be before the Lord, to see His face and to be like Him. We're so blessed to be together today. This is what the Lord has called. This is the day the Lord has made. We rejoice. We're glad in it. We're thankful about this time to come and to celebrate and to see the Lord work. We want you to open up your Bibles at this time. By the way, we have Bibles up front, in back, and all around. The Bible you can consider as a gift to you if you don't have one. Maybe you have a friend that needs one. Take one when you leave. Give it to a friend as well. This morning, we're looking at chapter 16 of Romans. And the title for this message is called Teamwork in Ministry. And there's no way we can be here today. There's absolutely no way we could be here standing and proclaiming and worshiping if there was not a team that was worked several days ago, early this morning, right now, and even as we're here. That team is at work. Why? So that we'd receive the full blessing that the Lord has for us right now. And Paul begins to explain how important each member of the body of Christ is. Notice in chapter 16, verse 1, Paul is speaking and he's talking to us, and he says in verse 1 of the scriptures, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church of Caesarea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many, and of myself also. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They actually risk their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful to be together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for what we've already experienced in your presence this morning with one another. Father, you've called us to pray for our nation. And Father, with complete confidence and boldness, I pray for our president, vice president, for those in the appointed cabinet positions. Father, for the Supreme Court, for the House of Representatives, for the Senate, for our own governors and governors throughout the nation, and our own local leaders, whether in the county, in the cities, in the school boards. God, I pray in the name of Jesus for salvation to visit each and every person who doesn't know you. Save these men and women that they would know the true God. They'd have godly wisdom. They are certainly called by the Bible ministers to us. So God, save them, equip them. Father, where we're at right now, help us to live in a way that pleases you. Continue, Lord, to have your hand upon our life, upon your church. We ask this time now to be committed to you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want you to know right up front that this ministry and this pastor, we never interpret the scripture in light of the culture. That's a huge mistake, and any person that is doing that, stop doing it. It's the inspired, inerrant word of God. Let the word of God speak to our hearts. Let the Holy Spirit do His work amongst us. We don't alter the Word of God. It alters us. It changes us. And for that, we're very thankful. I was thinking of several possible titles for this message. family and friends. Paul's not a franchise player. Another title would be no isolation. Another title is accept and appreciate the ministry of others. And maybe the last title, an example for a prayer life of a believer. As I mentioned, there's 30 to 35 names mentioned in this chapter. We're looking at the first 16 verses today. What we're looking at is men and women that were called by God. They were saved, and they were saved to serve just as we are. Listen, we're saved to serve. We're not saved for works, but we work because we've been saved. In the beautiful ministry of God and His Word as He takes ordinary people and we experience the Lord's life in us, and He allows us by the power of His Holy Spirit to do extraordinary things. And so today I was thinking about all the technology out there to stay in touch with one another. But the truth is, we're living at a time of extreme loneliness with all the technology and all the tools. Why? And I asked that question to myself and I prayed, God, why is this? Because we were created for real FaceTime, not fake screen time. We need to be together. And if that point hasn't come clear in the last year, then I would say, wake up. Because when there was a national dictate to keep us from being together, your heart and your soul ached, and you're wondering what was going on, and you're mindful, obviously, of trying to discover where we're at in the midst of this, but you longed for fellowship, face to face, to pray with one another, to touch one another, to hug one another, to encourage one another. Why? Is that a rule or a regulation of the church, or this church, or Christianity? Absolutely not. It's how God has made us. It's how He's created us. And when we're seeing what Paul points out in the lives of several people, that took place because people made it a priority to be together with one another. And because of that, wow, what God did. We're currently a nation of strangers created by strategically planned isolation, which is leading to despair, isolation, and chaos. And I'm against all of that. I am for what God is for. God is for His Word going out. God is for His church meeting. God is for His church fellowshipping. God is for His church praying, serving. God is for His church making Him known throughout the whole world. And that's why you're here. I'm for what God is for. And I'll continue to proclaim that. As it said, shout it from the mountains. And brothers and sisters, I'm doing that today. The answer is found in Christ. That's the only way we can have a meaningful relationship with one another, if we find our lives with Christ. This church in Rome, they came from all over the empire, multiple backgrounds, multiple traditions, but they all shared one thing in common. They shared salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Some experienced time and they met together in prisons. Some met in synagogues, some in the marketplace, and of course some in the church. And I believe that Paul was the greatest intellectual of the day, not just spiritually, just overall. Because he could spar with the best that academia could offer. He was a bedrock of theology, and the book of Romans proves it. But what actually leads all of his accomplishments is his love for people and the teamwork of friendships in the ministry that he had built. I'm going to share some application right now, which usually comes at the end. But just be thinking about this. I think it's essential for us aside from a marital relationship, but to have at least three other significant believing friends in our lives. For me, three other men, four other men, five other men, I have many more than that, but I'm just saying, for men and women of faith, and for women to have two, three others that you're committed to, they know you, they're praying with you, for you, you're growing together, you're maturing together, it's very, very significant. The book of Romans taught us about God's love for us. It taught us His never separating love. We learned how to love one another without hypocrisy. We love the lost. We even love our enemies. And we love to serve Jesus with our brothers and sisters. Make it really clear. I don't serve, and we should not serve, because I need to serve, or serving fulfills a need in me. It'll lead you down the wrong road. We serve because we love Jesus. We serve because we love Jesus. And in loving Jesus and serving, truly, there's a blessing in it. Jesus said it's more blessed to give than to receive. There's a built-in blessing, but it's not the motive behind it. We serve because we love Jesus. That's why we serve. And we have a heart for Jesus. Our motives are pure. When we're going through this, we see that what Jesus said is so true. How do we identify a Christian? We identify a Christian by a bumper sticker? Maybe, until you follow them for a while. That's why I don't have bumper stickers. I don't want to provoke anybody, but how? I try to, and you try to, allow the Lord to live through your life. It's your life. It's your life. That's the testimony that you're a follower of Jesus. We never will, we never do, and we will not permit anyone here to promote themselves as being perfect, as being altogether. That's the road to hypocrisy. Christ isn't looking for our perfection. He's looking for our faithfulness. He's looking for our humility. He's looking for our brokenness. He's looking for our availability. He's looking for our dependency upon Him. By this, Jesus said, all men, all women, the whole world will know that you are my disciples by the love you have for one another. And I took chapter 16 and I put together some words. God loves the work and God loves the worker. God loves the worker more than He loves the work. But what are some words that Paul used to describe the workers in 16? They were a servant, a helper. They were fellow prisoners, fellow workers, fellow laborers. They were men and women that risked their life for Paul's life. And what did God do? He provided fruit. We learn that we're chosen in the Lord. We learn that there is that beloved relationship we have with the Lord. We learn that we're called brethren, saints. We learn that we are approved in Christ. I love discipleship. Many pastors, aside from teaching as we're doing, but there's other gifts that God has given to pastors as well. Some pastors are very gifted evangelists. I mean, they just have that blessed gift and anointing. It's great to listen to them and hear them. Pastor Greg Laurie would be one in that case where, to an extreme way, God has used him mightily and powerfully. I believe that, for me, it's discipleship. It's always been that way. To come alongside and to help and encourage others to sense how God has gifted them and to provide opportunities for them to serve, to grow, and to experience God and His working in their life. A scripture that has been very dear to me is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. Paul is speaking, and he's speaking to the church, and he's saying, We were gentle amongst you like a mother caring for her little children. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives as well. Why? because you've become very dear to us. You're very dear to us. You're very dear to us, to me, to the Lord, to the work, to one another. And Paul is saying that we gave you God's word. We taught God's word. But something goes with giving out God's word, and that is giving your life for another. Paul was not only a soul winner, he was a friend maker. Are you making significant friendships with others? It's not an easy thing to do. It isn't. It takes time. And it takes patience. It takes gentleness. It takes a lot of things. It takes things that are a necessity right now that have been pushed aside because we get too busy. You know, the great thing, there's many wonderful things within our marriage, but early on, and especially moms, young women, as you have your children and it's intense throughout the day, and you can't wait for your husband to come home to help provide some relief. But also, women, you must encourage your husband, because sometimes there's a Saturday or another day or another night that you'd really like him to be with you. And it's really hard for us as men to realize that we've got responsibility at home. There's expectations. There's unspoken expectations we become aware of and other things as well. But wives, helping your husband get connected with another man or a few other men in fellowship is essential. For me, when I first got saved and was in business, and I began to meet with a group of older men. Remember, I was just in my 20s, and they were much older. Most of them had retired. And they were part of the Gideon Ministry, which hands out Bibles or distributes Bibles in hotels. And I remember being together with them in the Seattle area. And he says, "You're going to meet with us for breakfast on a Saturday." The first time I met with him, I said, "Sure, I'm up for that." I told you, I was 20 then. I like big breakfasts. not so true today, but anyways, we met at this restaurant in a back room and just sitting and eating. And then they pushed their chair away from the table. And I'm thinking, what's going to go on? And these, to me, very old Moses-looking men knelt down on the floor in this back room. It was a secluded room. And they began to pray. And they taught me about prayer. First, it's like, you got to be kidding. I mean, it's Saturday, it's breakfast. I mean, and they taught me something that I needed to learn. And it meant so much to me to have an older man take time. One of them, he was a businessman in his whole career, and he knew I was in sales. And he says, "Hey, why don't you meet me downtown Seattle when you're making your calls and talking to some of the businesses?" I said, "Sure." So he, when I showed up, was in a fully beautiful suit, London Fog coat on. It was raining out. And he goes, "Come on into this hotel lobby." And I go, "Sure." He says, what's up? He goes, "Well, I've looked into the paper, and there's a convention happening here in Seattle in this hotel. It's a business convention." "Yes." "Well, I'm going to purposely ask God to open up doors to share the faith." "What? What are you going to do?" "I'm just going to walk in this lobby." I mean, you would never resist a conversation from this gentleman. Very nice. And I says, "What are you going to do?" And he goes, and he opened up his coat, and he had like six different tracks. He goes, "Depending on how the conversation goes. But I'm trusting God that he'll lead me to someone I could share the faith with." And basically how it goes, I've got some inventory to hand out to this person. I'm thinking, what world have I been living in? And I just to see, I wouldn't even think of something like that. But he helped me. And when we read these scriptures this morning, and we're beginning to see the lives of these individuals, it's going to grip our hearts. Chapter 16, verse 1. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who's a servant of the church of Caesarea. Now, when he says, I commend you, I was thinking, what does that mean? Hey, good job, Phoebe. No. This book of Romans, have you not loved it? Has it not been a great blessing as we've been through so many weeks, over 50 weeks of studying Romans? Doesn't strengthen us? I mean, it is the constitution of the New Testament in many ways. I mean, the foundation of truth in this. Paul wrote it, and it had to get to Rome. So did he do it on an email and send it and create a PDF file and save everything in the cloud? No. It was all handwritten, and there was only one copy. And this copy of this book that we just read right now, as we've gone through this, this was written in the first century, in the 50s AD, somewhere in there. It was written. And Paul gave it to Phoebe, a woman with the book of Romans, Holy Spirit written book of Romans. Paul gave it to Phoebe, and Phoebe, you'll take this to Rome. You'll be the messenger. You'll be the one that will deliver this book of Romans that we're reading today to Rome. I just say, praise God. And then I think about that, because we've read the journeys of Paul, getting beaten and thieves and all kinds of things. Can you imagine the heavenly escort that must have been around Phoebe, the angels and everything else on that trip from Corinth to Rome? Wow. So Paul is saying, I commend you. In other words, this is a courtesy. As she is delivering this, there's documentation she has, a sense of being recommended or commended for this task. And Phoebe, her name means pure, bright, radiant. She was a sister. She was a servant. She was a helper. She was a believer. She was a part of the family of Christ. Do you know something? And you do know this. You know this so well. That spiritual ties that you have with other brothers and sisters, the connection that you have with other brothers and sisters can be and is at times stronger than the connection you have with your own blood relatives. And that's what's happening. You know what? What makes it so strong? I thought about that. That's true, though. You know that to be true. That's true. But why? Why is it stronger than the bloodline of our family? Because it's the bloodline of Jesus Christ. It's because of his blood offering for us, his death, burial, and resurrection, his sacrificial love, that we're here, we're saved because of the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. By the way, it's Holy Week, and we'll be celebrating that with prayer tomorrow night, Bible study on Wednesday, and also a Good Friday communion service here at 7 p.m. He began with Phoebe. She was a member of the church there, and she was a lady that carried the letter to the saints. Never did a messenger carry a more important letter. Can you just imagine that? You know what it's like when you work hard on your own documents that you write. You labor over it. You save it. You save it. You save it. You know where it's at. There was not a case. It was total dependency upon God delivering this. She assisted when someone else needs help. Notice that in verse 2. That you may receive her. And that's so important. You know, when you come here, every ministry has a personality to it. But when you come here, our desire is that you feel received. Not overwhelmed, not ganged up on, not, you know, but you feel received. You feel received in the grace of God. We're blessed that you're here. And that's what he's saying. Receive her. Welcome her. You know, Paul said, because there was someone in the book of Philemon, he was a runaway worker. He got saved in Rome. He ripped off his owner before he got saved. He went to Rome. He got saved through the ministry of Paul. Paul says, you got to go back. You got to go back to your owner. He goes, I can't. He goes, here's a letter. And Paul told the owner, when you see Onesimus coming, you think of him. When you see him, I know you might be angry and mad and mean and worked up and contentious. He goes, none of that. When you see him, think of it as me coming. How would you receive me, Paul, if I'm coming down the road to your house? I want you to receive him the same way. That's a great example for us. Receiving others. Because as a believer, it's Christ in you. Christ is in you. And we welcome you. We're welcoming Christ in our midst. So we want to, in verse 2, assist her in whatever business. You know, I am getting very tired and worn out, part of this cultural thing that is going on. And the way there are things they say about men and things they say about women and things they say about nationality and races and things like that. Enough! I don't buy off on any of that. I know this to be true. The heart of every man and woman is wicked, deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? That in the heart of every person is the capacity to be mean, to be cruel, to be wicked. Within the heart of every person it exists. That sin nature exists. And that sin nature comes out in ways that is just disgusting. Absolutely, for sure. But there are people that are bent on the Bible as though it's something that suppresses people or women. And nothing could be further from the truth. You're reading a New Testament first century account of a leader of the Christian church, Paul. And Paul says, Phoebe, man, look at your life. Look what a blessing that you are. You're a blessing to me. You're a blessing to the body of Christ. You are trustworthy. You get this Romans epistle. You're the one to take it to Rome. My friends, you read the scriptures and you read how God was working in men and women's life and how we were told not to exalt ourselves but to consider others more important than ourselves. And that goes for men and that goes for women. And it assaulted the culture of that day, that Roman culture, that strong culture. It destroyed it because it was so different. It's liberating. It sets people free. It delivers men and women, children out of bondage. And it sets us free. And to assist her with whatever she needs. Assist her. Help her. You and I will know that we are servants. How? By the way we react when we're actually treated like one. What? Hello? I will share this. many years ago, there used to be a thing that's kind of you honor the pastor on some Sunday or whatever like that. And, you know, I'm really not into those special days, whatever. Let's just honor one another every day. I'm in for that. So I don't need another Hallmark day for anything special. But people were nice enough, kind enough. They had a nice cake, a sheet cake in back, a sense of appreciation, pastor and all that. And after the Sunday service and after it was all done, and I actually had to stay later talking to some people, but by the time it was all done, everybody had left, and then I was just, at that Sunday, locking up things, and I went into the kitchen, and there was the sheet cake there. It was all gone. I never got a piece, by the way, and no regrets, but there was a knife, still had everything on it, and so I cleaned it, and I put it in the trash, and that was still there, so I was walking this big black trash bag out to the trash bin. And the Lord just spoke to me. And he says, do you love the people? Do you love the people? See, I needed that. God needed that. He needed to test me. He needed to test my heart. He needed to test my motive. And basically, that small, short walk between here and the trash can was such a deep conversation with the Lord. Just, Lord, I have messed up so many times. I mean, a little mess in the kitchen is nothing compared to the messes I've left for you to take care of in my life, even as a believer. And you never stop loving me. And you never stop being with me. And that's how God trains us. That's how he trains his pastors. That's how he trains men and women, husbands and wives. You'll know that you're a servant by the way you react when you feel like a servant. It's a good word. Verse 3, Priscilla and Aquila. This is a husband and wife team, but the wife, again, is Priscilla. The husband is Aquila. In the scriptures, this is unusual because in that day, you would put the husband first. Similar to when you address a letter, you would typically say Mr. and Mrs. Blumberg. That's typically how you would write it. But in the scriptures, it's pointed this way, and it happened three different times, putting the wife first. You know, Priscilla had gifts that Aquila didn't have. Priscilla's the wife. She was, in my opinion, reading the scriptures, definitely more outgoing than her husband. And it's true. In a marriage relationship, you have different personalities. Sometimes one is going to be more outgoing than the other, typically, on that. And it works. It's okay. So long as we know our place, as long as every husband knows his place and a wife knows the place in the relationship, and biblically speaking, how it works, and you're not undermining anyone else. But I love the husband, Aquila, provided ways that his wife could really excel. He says, they're my fellow workers. Now, they met in Corinth on the second missionary journey. They had to flee to Rome, and they were tent makers. They accompanied Paul to Ephesus. Their home became a place of worship and instruction. Later, they would move back to Rome, and again, their home would be that. But verse 4 says, regarding Aquila and Priscilla, they risked their own necks for my life. So they could have died in some sort of situation. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Listen to this. Paul is writing. He says, I thank my God. Those four words. I thank my God. Have you been thanking God? Paul says, I'm going to thank God upon every remembrance of you. When you remember somebody, is it that you get mad at them? And does it stir up a sense of contention or hostility? Or do you pray upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you with all joy? Let me just, five quick bullet points here regarding Priscilla and Aquila. Why was their life so important? Why was it so fruitful? Number one, because they came into Paul's life. God creates situations for someone to come into your life or for you to get involved in someone else's life. It could have been a change in the workplace. It could be someone that's moving in next door. It could be a new spouse to one of the family members. But they were thankful for that. Then they have this individual named Apollos. Apollos was somebody that was ministering at the same time as Paul. People loved Apollos. He was quite the orator, the Bible says. He brought it, but he didn't have the complete understanding of the scriptures. As a matter of fact, it said that when they heard him speak in the synagogues, Aquila and Priscilla heard them. They took him aside, and they explained to him the way of God more accurately. All he knew was the baptism of John. They presented the complete gospel of saving faith, which changed his life, and he was used powerfully for the Lord. Are you willing to speak the truth in someone else's life that really maybe hasn't experienced the Word of God? They don't know what God's Word says on certain things. They comforted Paul. They were his helper. It says tent making, and they literally were tent makers. There was something that was said by the Jewish people at that time, but if you don't teach your son how to experience a trade, you're going to teach him how to become a thief. So everyone, and parents, just listen up. Teach your young children about how to work. It may not be a specific trait initially, but it's how to work. Fourth grade, I started my first paper out fourth grade. Fourth grade. All the way till eighth grade. Then I went to my next brother. That stayed in our house for a couple decades, paper out. But it was really great because it's the first earning and mowing lawns and doing other things and beginning to learn money and the value. And my parents taught us at a young age, the very young age. We started earning money. You honor God with your money as well. At the youngest age, you honor God with your money. Just whatever you earn, you figure out, but you honor the Lord with your money. By the way, tent making was how they helped fund the expenses of the ministry or their lives. Here's the situation. Maybe think of things this way. What really is your purpose in life? What really is it? And so we identify with our job and with what things are. Wait a minute. Stop for just a minute. You and I are called to be servants of Jesus and to represent Him to the world. That's a full-time calling. Your job, whatever career, whatever level of responsibility, CEO or whatever you have, God is using your gifting, but it's the provision He's providing so that you can fulfill your main calling, and that is to represent Him to the world. That's our main calling. And all that we do helps subsidize that, and it helps bless the additional work. When we see Christ face to face, He's not going to say to me, "Well done, good salesman," or whatever I did. He's going to say, "Servant." He uses the word servant. So the call to be a servant shouldn't be relegated to some part-time thing. It's our calling. They had courage. They risked their life, and they also had church in their house. What a blessing they were. I love Priscilla and Aquila, and I love the fact that God used them both together as a husband and wife. And men and women, God wants to use your marriage. Serve God together, or encourage one another together in the work and the ministry that He's called you to do. My wife is not the assistant pastor of Calvary Chapel. She's not a pastor at all. She's not an assistant in any way. She's my helper in our marriage. That's her calling to me, and to help and support me do what I'm doing right now, and I need her support. She's not a counselor or ministry leader. She's my wife. She's the mother of our daughters, and she's the grandmother of our children. That's her calling. That's her place. There's other things that we do together, but her strength to me, that's her calling, her fulfilling, allows me to do. So we're a team. So learn how to be a team. This is about teamwork. Verse 5, likewise, greet the church in your house. Greet my beloved Epaphras and the first fruits of Achaia to Christ. Paul is saying, guess what? I can remember back that first person I led to the Lord. Have you ever been used by God to help introduce somebody to Jesus Christ? Now, 95% of Christians, unfortunately, haven't had that personal experience of leading somebody to Christ. But this is something to think about. It could be to a family member, friend, and you get real nervous. But it could be simply as saying, would you like me to pray for you to receive Jesus as your Savior? Would you like me to pray for you so you can receive Jesus as your Savior? Would you like to have peace with God? Would you like that? In the relationships you have with your unsaved friends, or even those that claim to be Christians, but you know it hasn't arrived yet on their heart, these are the days that are so important to make known our faith. I remember our first, for me personally, the first person that came to faith in our ministry. I remember that completely and never forget it. And I love this brother. And sometimes he may be listening even this morning, doesn't live in the area. But we had an outreach with Josh McDowell. I don't know if you know who he is. But we used the Seahome gym next to the high school. We worked with Campus Crusade. And we had only started the ministry a few months earlier. And the gym was entirely packed for both nights, two nights. And there was all kinds of follow-up things as well. It was an incredible opportunity. It was like, what's going on? We're living in a little apartment, all five of us. And it's just like, it's unbelievable. God brought this huge outreach opportunity to us. But someone that attended that had a friend that he wanted to introduce to Christ. So I had lunch with this friend. And with the friend, when he came, the great question was, Bible on the desk. I said, you got a lot of questions. And I'm going to answer the questions from the Word of God. So just up front, is that acceptable? Is that okay? Because I'm going to give you a biblical answer. Great questions you have, but I'm not going to give you my opinion. I'm going to give you what the Lord has said about it. He spoke on the topic that we're discussing. And there was a great reception. And there would eventually be that commitment to Christ. And I just rejoice. You always remember the tenderness of that time. Verse 6, greet Mary who has labored much with us. There's many, many Marys in the Bible. This idea of laboring much, you know this. You know this so well. This is laboring. It means laboring, serving God when you're to the point of exhaustion. It's in Luke chapter 5 with the disciples out in the water. It says, we toiled all night. We caught nothing. We're exhausted. An important point to make. I'm not weary of this work, but I do get weary in the work. And I appreciate your prayers over the last couple weeks because, God, how I needed your strength and how you provided through your people. Verse 7, greet Andonicus and Juna, the countrymen, my fellow prisoners who are of note amongst the apostles who also were in Christ before me. While that verse is loaded, he's saying we're going to greet these two people, they're countrymen. And countrymen isn't as though they had banjos and they met at night somewhere. It's the same word as kinsmen, that there's a relationship. These were Jewish men. Could have they been from the same tribe of Benjamin as Paul? It's possible. How did they connect? How did the significance of the relationship take place? In prison, in the jail. In the jail is where the discipleship classes happened for them. They got close for life. When you work hard, when you toil, when you labor, when you serve together, when you're like-minded, there's a connection that's made. My friends, through this COVID journey over these last year and where we've been at in these last many months, I have stated many times, it is though we're on a mission trip together. This is new ground for all of us. We learn things every week. We move ahead. We stay together. We pray together. We help one another. We see God working. It's a mighty time. It is a mission trip. We're on this together. And there's something happening at this time that between now and our last breath on earth, there's a connection. There's a heart. There's a desire that we have deep, deeper than ever before, for one another and for the work of God. And even if somebody needs to move away, we'll stay in contact because there's something we're experiencing right now at this time that perhaps none of us have experienced in our Christian life before. A sense of the Holy Spirit of God, the Word of God, the freshness of God, renewing of our Spirit of God, renewal in our walk with God, seeing answers to prayer, pressing in prayer, believing, being excited about God, being excited about His Word. Verse 8, greet Amplius. Verse 9, Urbanus, our fellow worker, and Stachys, my beloved. Greet Apelles, approved in Christ. Greet those who are of the household of Aristobulus. And when we see these names that are there right now, whether they're pronounced correctly or not, I love them and they'll help me know their name better when we get to heaven. We're going to see all these people someday in heaven. But the point is, in this part right here, is that there's an acceptance of all believers. It's called discipleship. And we grow together, whether it's a time in jail or just emotionally being imprisoned through some tough situations. But we experience working together. And this idea of being beloved in the Lord and approved by Christ, how wonderful is that? But this approved means that there is something that tried, it tested. It's like precious metals that are formed and refined in the heat, and they pass the test. And you have taken many pop quizzes from the Lord through this time. I know that to be true, because so am I. And James says, blessed are they who endure temptations or trials, for when they have been approved, they'll receive the crown of life. 2 Timothy 2:15, present yourselves to God, a worker who doesn't need to be ashamed. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7, in this you greatly rejoice for a little while, if indeed be you have been grieved by various trials, that the sincerity, genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, it's tested by fire, it will be found to the praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. I conclude with one quick final application. The word SOS. SOS is a distress signal that is sent out. Some would say it means save our ship. Some would say it's special operations squadron. Some of you will be asked, what was the Sunday message about? And you might say, SOS, same old stuff. But that's not what it is. It could be someone special. But follow on this final application. Save our soul. So the first thing is to save our soul. Save the souls of men and women and boys and girls. Save our souls. But the other personalized SOS from your pastor today is serve others sincerely. SOS, serve others sincerely. Serve them by building up and reaching out. Others, appreciate the differences. That's so important. Listen, we're all maturing at a different level and at a different pace. All of us are in a different place in our walk with God. Don't get heavy-handed with someone else about where they're at. Be patient and be gracious. Be kind, be corrective, be encouraging to one another. Sincerity, and that's the love for others. Hardy's going to come up for that last worship song that we have. And as he's doing that, there's an illustration I'll give to you. And our fellowship through the years have heard this, but it's time to hear it because some of you haven't heard it before. The hardest thing is to ask somebody to pray for you. You want prayer, but to do that means it's going to be a longer conversation than you want to have, and you might have to reveal more than you want to reveal. Therefore, you don't pass on the prayer request. You keep it to yourself. But we need to pray for one another. Here's the illustration. In the weight room, when someone's doing bench press, and they have somebody behind them, and you say to the person behind me, spot me. What does that mean? Well, it means pretty much, I got too much weight on, and it's probably going to crush me. And so, if you spot me, you're there to help lift it up. You're there to help lift it up. So here's the deal. It's very simple. 2 minutes left here. Here we go. Spot me. What does that mean? I send a text to Eric, and he knows how this works, and I say, spot me. He sends a text back to me, and he says, spot on. Now, he doesn't need to call me and say, hey, what's up, PT? What's happening, man? He doesn't do that at all. He just knows that I'm asking for prayer. Now, I might see him on Sunday and say, hey, thanks for praying for me. Or I may talk to him later on. It's my prerogative of what I want to do. But what I needed was prayer. And I needed prayer right away. And I didn't have time or could take the time or wanted to take the time to elaborate, but I needed prayer. And I needed the prayer of someone else praying for me. So I text out to Tim, spot me. He's back, spot on. Do you understand that? So it's really simple. When someone sends you a text and it says, spot me, you don't text back saying, hey, what's up? Give me the details. No. You just say, spot on. You ask for prayer. I'm praying for you. It's simple. And if we can develop that simple sense of immediate prayer, praying for one another, it will expand our hearts and it will develop us in a greater way in love and caring for one another. Amen. Let's worship God with this last song.